And now we finish this program by crossing the border into Idaho. Proposition 2 is one of two statewide initiatives. It would allow the state to expand Medicaid coverage to people who are younger than 65, whose income is 138% or less of the federal poverty level, and who are not eligible for other state insurance coverage. Steve Jackson spoke with initiative proponent Emily Strizich.
When the Affordable Care Act was written, it was understood that all states would expand their Medicaid programs to 138% of the federal poverty line. So that's for an individual about $17,000 a year, or for a family of four up to about $25,000 a year. So the trick is that the Supreme Court overruled that and said that the states could decide to expand or not. And of course, when Idaho chose not to expand, it left this Medicaid coverage gap where people can make too much money to qualify for any traditional Medicaid programs, but actually not enough money to get any tax credit on the exchange. So, you know, if you make $12,000 a year as a self-employed photographer, the expectation is that you would pay full price for insurance, which is, of course, unattainable for folks. So for a family of four, if they make over $5,000 a year, they do not qualify for any assistance through Medicaid. To be able to get a subsidy, they have to make over $25,000 a year. So that leaves a big gap in the middle. And I think opponents always say, well, they can just choose to work harder. Well, for a lot of these families, it's, you know, more cost effective for one parent to stay at home with the children and things like that. So to me, that's a pretty insulting insinuation that these folks aren't just working hard enough, because when we traveled around the state and met with people, they're working two or three part-time jobs trying to make ends meet. And, you know, we know that Idaho has one of the highest populations of minimum wage workers. So if you're working 40-hour weeks at minimum wage, that's only $15,000 a year. So we know that there is quite a number of people struggling. And to me, it's just, it's so backwards. You know, I used to work with a family who had six children, and the mother was a teacher, the father was self-employed, and they didn't qualify for any tax break for their insurance. And then once one of their children left home, and suddenly they made, you know, through their taxes, it looked like they made more money because they had less dependents, suddenly they qualified. So to me, it just doesn't make sense that, you know, when they had a greater degree of need, they didn't actually qualify for any assistance. And then when they had a lesser degree of need, the system was there to support them.
That's Emily Strizich from the group sponsoring Proposition 2, and we'll get back to her in a few minutes. Opposing the proposition is Fred Birnbaum from the Idaho Freedom Foundation.
I think the first thing I would point out is Medicaid, as it was constructed and works traditionally, has worked traditionally, is a program for the most needy. And that includes low-income children, low-income pregnant women, the disabled, and elderly adults who need long-term care. And we believe that it's important that it be maintained for those groups. And if you add more to a program whose costs are already ballooning, that you put the most vulnerable at risk. So that's one point I'd make. Mm-hmm. Another point I would make is I think there's some misunderstandings or misnomers about the working poor. Proponents often talk about this Obamacare Medicaid expansion, and in the next breath they'll say these are the working poor. If you earn as a single adult, and 69% of those in the gap, estimated by Milliman, an actuarial firm, are single adults without children, if you earn more than $12,140, you can get a subsidized insurance policy through the Your Health Idaho Exchange for as little as $11 a month for Silver Plan. So if you're truly working full-time, you're going to be able to get a subsidized health plan. If you're not working at all, it's true, you get neither the subsidy nor Medicaid now. But if you expand Medicaid, anybody who meets simply the age criteria, even if they're able-bodied, will get Medicaid, 100% taxpayer-funded health care. And we don't believe that it makes sense in an economy with sub 3% unemployment to incentivize people not to work or to work less, because Medicaid for a single adult has an earnings cap of about $16,753 a year. So you're basically saying to people, you don't have to work even if you're able-bodied, and you will get health care. Or if you do work, don't earn over this amount, because you will lose your 100% taxpayer subsidized health care. And that goes back to what's known as the poverty trap or the fiscal cliff, where people go over a certain threshold and they lose a benefit. So we think the incentives are wrong. We think it's ill-timed right now because of the strong economy. There are actually more job openings in Idaho than there are unemployed people, and that's actually been noted nationally. Mm-hmm. So we think the timing isn't good. Notionally, it doesn't make sense. And there are alternatives, as I suggested, subsidized health care for those that do work.
The proponents are, you know, making the case that the state will only have to pay 10% of the cost, and that, you know, the feds are picking up 90. So tell me why that would not be a good deal for Idaho.
I'm glad you asked that question. In fact, when people refer to the cost, often they ignore the federal piece. And when you add the federal and state piece in totality, there have been a lot of estimates. I've seen at least 9 over the last several years, 9 different versions. And the total costs for a 10-year window is $5 to $7 billion plus, so say $500 to $700 million a year. And you're correct that the federal government would, quote-unquote, pay 90%. But the federal government, as many of us know who pay attention to what's going on in D.C., is running annual deficits of about $1 trillion a year. So this is not money that comes from any taxpayer. It's incremental borrowed money. This is not a return of Idahoans' tax dollars. That's what proponents say. It's just factually incorrect, because if you're running a deficit and you spend more, you're actually just borrowing more. You're adding it to that $1 trillion. Now, then they will say, well, it's such a small amount. But that's how we got to $1 trillion deficits and $21 trillion in debt, is spending here or there. And Medicaid as a program and entitlements overall are now over 60% of federal spending. And Medicaid is circa, on the federal level, $400 billion. I don't have the exact number, but it's approaching that number. So this is incremental borrowed money. And if the federal government at some point has to bring its books into balance, then it won't be able to pay 90%. Traditional Medicaid is funded at a 70-30 ratio. Traditional Medicaid for poor children is funded with 70%, and then you have this expanded able-bodied population getting 90%. Well, let's say they tried to say, well, they're both going to be 70. So then it means Idaho would have to pick up 30 and not 10. And that could be several hundred million dollars more a year for Idaho.
That's Fred Birnbaum, the vice president of the Idaho Freedom Foundation. Now we go back to the proponent of Proposition 2, Emily Strizich.
This idea that people who fall into the Medicaid coverage gap don't work and are lazy freeloaders is frankly offensive, because having met a lot of those people, I can assure you that they're doing everything they can to make ends meet. But when it comes to the choice of, you know, putting groceries on the table for your family or buying this kind of esoteric idea of health insurance, of course people are going to choose the groceries.
Right. Do we know what the number of the Medicaid gap is? I mean, I think it's, the estimates have been a little varying over the years, but what's the latest information?
Yeah. So now the number that we're getting from Health and Human Services is about 62,000. So when we first started the campaign last summer, the number was 78,000, and those are going off of SNAP benefits.
Now, if the measure passes the initiative, then does that just mm-hmm. automatically direct the legislature to ask for the Medicaid expansion? Or what exactly does it do?
Yeah, so if it passes, it's the law. And it would be, so at that point, the legislature would have to take action to repeal it, which to me, you know, we've had some candidates who have said that they're going to do everything they can to work against this, which to me seems like I couldn't imagine ever going into a job interview and saying, I'm actually going to work hard to do the opposite of what you asked me to do. So that doesn't seem like a particularly popular stance to take as a politician, but we have heard that from some candidates out there. But yeah, if this passes, this becomes the law.
Okay.
Which is pretty exciting. You know, I think that's been really inspiring for folks, that they are able, you know, I think when people feel like their government isn't working for them and feel particularly impotent to be able to make change, I think that when this passes, this becomes the law, is really empowering to people.
Okay.
It's kind of the only option that folks you know, when we go around and talk to people in the coverage gap, they say, you know, my social worker told me I could move to another state, I could call my senator, I could set up a GoFundMe page, you know, when obviously none of those options work for you, this to be able to take action on something that is going to help is pretty empowering.
That's Emily Strizich from the group sponsoring Idaho's Proposition 2. She spoke with Steve Jackson, as did Fred Birnbaum.